treat your love to something extra special this Valentine's Day. Hi, I'm Allie Evers with Boheme Salon & Spa, Reading's premier Aveda Concepts Salon & Spa. What says I love you more than the gift of relaxation? Give the perfect gift this Valentine's Day that shows you care. Relax, unwind, and pamper yourself and a loved one with the gift of a soothing couples massage. You and a loved one can escape the cares of the day and indulge and share in a moment of intimate relaxation. Our special Valentine's Couples Massage Package includes champagne, chocolate, and a one-hour couples massage in a wonderfully relaxing environment. At Boheme Salon & Spa, we offer a complete line of Aveda products and signature services, and gift cards are always available. Give the experience of love this Valentine. Boheme Salon & Spa, 961 Dana Drive, or our new location at 1740 Eureka Way in Reading, located inside the Wellgate Sports Club. Experience how beautiful natural can be at Boheme Salon & Spa.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
City of Reading Public Works presents Water's Extreme Journey at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Starting January 29th, you can take the journey of a lifetime through the entire water cycle. This giant, interactive maze is loaded with fun, full body and hands-on activities for the whole family. Water's Extreme Journey is created and traveled by Minotaur Mazes. Join the exciting and important quest for clean water at Turtle Bay. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
This is Carl Lindabot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, it's President's Day, and yeah, we're going to be here. And let's talk about a few things that are in the news. What about the new subpoenas on the Clinton Foundation? What's going on there? 7 police killed in 7 days. Where's the outrage from the press and the public and especially the politicians? All of this Monday, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People.
Howdy.
Oh, Bill's got coffee.
Yeah, I've been drinking coffee all morning.
Okay, Bill got up early, and Bill's still drinking coffee, and yeah. It's afternoon.
Yeah.
We're going to pay for that. If you hear any, strangulating sounds.
I needed it. I was working outside on my feet all weekend long.
Because I've got LED tail lights now. I can annoy the people behind me as well as the people in front of me.
There you go.
It's the little things. Bob, how's the world going for you?
Oh, we've got LED lights in the building now.
That was so weird. I came in, I felt like confessing something.
I know it. It was white.
I was trying to think of some crime I'd committed. God, you know how telling is that, huh? Since we're going to talk about the people at the VA
it's
today.
It's so bright, I thought I got hit by a car crossing the street when I walked in the building. It's like, oh!
Oh, boy.
Hey, boy.
It's going to be one of those days.
We have a guest in the purgatory here.
Oh, Kristen, are you ready for this?
Always. Happy Valentine's Day.
Hey, you too. Have you had your sufficiency of coffee since you're in a little later time zone than we are?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well.
Many cups earlier.
Well, that's good. So we should just tell people, you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us, and there is a lot of traffic there. Just a ton of traffic. Like on a Wednesday, 500 people will hit the site. It's really weird. I don't know what goes on Wednesdays out in the big world, but Wednesday's a very popular day. Yeah. I wonder if I just pay attention more on Wednesday and I use my Twitter more.
Well, it's hump day. I saw that on TV.
Trying to take us somewhere bad. So I don't know. I don't know if I use Twitter more or if you guys do. Something happens on Wednesdays, but a ton of people hit the website. So if you happen to know somebody who would like some nice conservative exposure, we've got all sorts of people listening on the West Coast. We're here noon, live from noon to 2 at KCNR Studios here in Redding, California. And on Mondays, we air on a recording. What do we call that, Bob? Podcast? Replay? What's the official radio jargon?
I guess that would be a podcast. Yeah, we're heard Monday afternoons from 1 to 3 Eastern Time in Philadelphia.
On WNJC.
That's right.
Powerhouse.
Our guest happens to be in Philadelphia.
I know, which is so much fun. It's fun to talk about Philadelphia when they get to hear it in Philadelphia. And that's on the Conservative Commandos radio network. And those guys are doing a lot of stuff. I forgot to put it on there. I knew there was something I forgot. I will update the website here this afternoon, but the Conservative Commandos have gotten a phone number, actually, so people can call this phone number mm-hmm. and listen to the radio. So for the folks who don't have Internet Connect, who don't know how to do all that, but maybe they have free cell minutes and they want to listen to shows, he's got a really good show lineup Monday through Friday. Of course, we're the Monday good show in the afternoon. But there's a bunch of other stuff. You can always hear them on the phone. I'll post that number. I thought that was kind of a neat option.
That is a neat option.
Enough for the people who don't maybe have a smartphone, don't want to get into the iHeartRadio apps and all that jazz, and maybe can't figure out how to use... listen on the computer. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's computer has a fast enough connection to listen to live streaming sound. So, yeah, there's a phone number. Back to the olden days, huh?
Did I mess you up at the beginning of the show? I don't think we introduced ourselves.
Yeah, well, Bill. It was Bill.
No.
It was just
yeah,
Bill.
It was me and my Bill was, my coffee indulgence.
Bill was hooting or there was something going on over there. So, so I'm Aaron Ryan.
Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
Yeah.
So now you know,
there we go.
Now you know who to blame in that order.
Yeah.
Actually, it really doesn't matter what happens. I'll get blamed because that's just how it works. Unless I didn't do it. If I didn't do it, then I always get blamed for that. If I really did it, you'll get blamed for it.
I thought Bill gets blamed.
No. I
try to stay out of that wheelhouse as much as possible.
I'm a blame
drawer. Not always successful, but
that's why I can't work at the VA because I get blamed for everything. And God knows at Kristen's office there's a lot to get blamed for. But, you know, we do have our two suspects up online. We have their little wanted poster. Who made the wanted poster, Kristen?
I honestly have no idea.
Oh.
I just know if you Google different things, it shows up a lot.
Yeah, I don't remember where I got it. I pulled it off one of our previous shows because we have you on about every 3 months or so. So we can, we don't want to fall behind on the news. But why don't you, for the folks who maybe haven't heard from you before, why don't you give them a little thing on you?
I've worked at the VA for 8 years now, and I work out of the Philadelphia regional office up until about September this year, and now I work out of my house. I'm a virtual employee full-time, and I report to Washington, D.C., so that's been wonderful.
Oh, my gosh, that's a huge change.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. So, and I can say the people that I work with now are awesome, and there's hope because I think there's some really good people that work at the VA. And so since I've had this change of location, I've got to meet a lot of new people, and I have nothing but good things to say about that part. But prior to that, I worked at the Philadelphia Regional Office where I was a whistleblower as to certain things that were going on, fraud and different kinds of issues with employees and changing data claims and possible mail shredding. So I would, report things internally and different things happened throughout the years, which, brought me to eventually testify before Congress. And then things are on the mend now, we think, in Philadelphia, so it's a good thing.
That's kind of awesome. Well, you ought to give people just a little snapshot looking back on our friends Rubens and Graves. just because maybe just pick one. We'll take a little break. We'll come back and do the other one so people's heads don't explode. Because we got to warn you, we're going to goof around a little bit today. This is a super serious topic, but if we presented it as a super serious topic, I'm afraid people would just need blood pressure medication, and, you know, we don't want them on drugs, so we'll try to dole it out in little bits and goof around in between so that you can maintain your Valentine's Day. I don't know, who should we start with? The ringleader? Who was the ringleader? Is it Rubens?
I don't know. I really don't know. I did watch the hearing on Diana Rubens because I just was interested to see. You know, you read certain things in the paper and you hear certain things around the office. But I wanted to, you know, I wanted to watch it and hear it come from everybody's mouth themselves. But, you know, I think that what they were doing was just taking a program that was legal and using it a lot. So, you know.
But they were
kind of
taking advantage of it a little bit, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, the VA's position, you know, I can't speak for the VA, but from listening, it's, you know, they kind of said that they have this program so that if they need to move a senior executive to a different office, if the office, you know, needs a change or things like that, that they have this program where it's an incentive to have somebody want to go to places where it's hard to fill these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the program in and of itself is a legal program, and I guess the taxpayers' argument would be that they overused the program too much, and, you know, but it was clear in the IG reports and even at the hearing and even with any of the judges' opinions, they didn't violate a law.
Yeah,
which is, that they were,
which is crazy
were doing
because
more ethical
they,
issues.
But they, yeah, because they busted them emailing each other, making a plan.
They orchestrated the demand, and then they filled it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Because, let's see, we should back up for people. Diana Rubens worked in Washington, D.C. She was the, deputy undersecretary for benefits. I guess we should be clear about that, too, because VA has all sorts of different offices. You might be thinking, well, I never come across any of this. And maybe they're right there in Philadelphia and they don't come across it. If you're using VA healthcare, you may or may not have gone through the VA benefits, hamster wheel, I guess, or merry-go-round. I always think of things that are circular there. But those are disability claims, and you may or may not be rated for a disability if you're a veteran. But you may have access to VA healthcare. That's kind of in a whole separate thing. This is VA benefits. The comparable offices here on the West Coast would be in Northern California. It would be Oakland. We have a lot of shenanigans in Oakland. And that's how I met you, was shenanigans in Oakland. We converged at a hearing and chatted in the hall. L.A., San Diego. There are benefits, 56 benefits offices around the country. And Diana Rubens oversaw all of those. And then, what's her name, Kimberly Graves? Am I right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She was at Philadelphia managing the benefits office in Philadelphia, right?
She was handling the eastern area at the time. So,
okay.
However the map was broken up, I think there was like a western area, an eastern area, and some other, you know.
Oh,
they
I didn't
break
realize
it up
that.
And
I was thinking she was managing the Philadelphia office.
No, that was, we had Robert McKendrick at the time.
That's where he was. Okay, I thought he was some, and he got shipped to, well, ultimately
he's
they.
He's the one, yeah, he went to L.A.
Yeah.
From Philly.
So they got him to move to L.A. so that Graves could take his job so that Rubens could, how did it go? Who wound up where? I guess. What was their ultimate goal?
Well, I mean...
Well, I guess we don't know what the ultimate goal was. I guess let's just... What did they engineer?
Well, originally, Diana moved from Washington to Philadelphia. Robert McKendrick moved from Philadelphia to Los Angeles. And there's another man, Antoine Waller, and he moved from St. Paul to Baltimore. And Kim Graves moved from Eastern Area in Philly to St. Paul. So... the whole issue was, you know, the positions that they had, they were in pretty high positions at the VA. So they, and they're part of their job responsibilities. Now, this is what I learned from watching the hearing, at least my interpretation of it. Part of their job responsibilities were to oversee these kind of things, you know, to, you know, if there's an office that needed some help and there was a director with more experience, to move them to different places throughout the country. So it wasn't strange, you know, that they approved these moves because that was their job. The whole issue was when it came to you yourself being involved in a move or you having to move somebody else for the job that you'll eventually fill, you know, should you have been signing these papers and doing these kind of things. So the hearing that I watched was about an appearance of a conflict of interest with the move. And so, you know, should you have taken yourself out of the situation and let, you know, so it didn't appear, even if it wasn't a conflict of interest, to create an appearance of one. So, I mean, eventually the judges, when I read the opinion, they said, you know, that they do believe it created an appearance of a conflict of interest, but the reason that the decisions weren't upheld was due to the penalties because of a defense that was raised.
Ugh. Let's get into that when we come back. And how much money it was. We're not talking about peanuts here. So for all the taxpayers who are listening who are thinking, well, I'm not involved in the VA. I don't have any relatives involved. You know, maybe you figure this totally skips you. No, it doesn't skip you. You're
nope.
Paying for it. So just it's good to be fully informed. And it's also good to keep all the other guys on the straight and narrow. So we like to talk about it so that they don't want us talking about them. Sort of a weird reverse incentive program. Just another service we provide. You are listening to We the People Radio. We will be right back with Kristen Rule here. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You're listening to We the People Radio on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
For the past 17 years, the Shasta Land Trust has served our community by conserving significant places in far northern California that protect water quality, working agricultural ranches, and wildlife habitat. The Shasta Land Trust invites you to its annual Wild Ways kickoff on Saturday, February 27th. Join us to support local land conservation. You will be treated to delicious food featuring Prather Ranch beef, local wines, and craft brew. Visit the website at shastalandtrust.org or call the office at 241-7886. The Shasta Land Trust, protecting the places people love for future generations to enjoy.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
The Trade School at Shasta Builders Exchange is hosting a fundraiser called the Electrician's Ball. Join us Friday, March 11th at the Red Lion Hotel and dine on salmon or prime rib prepared by Chef Kim Miller. Enjoy wines from the Mosley Family Cellars and be entertained by Linda Bott Jazz Ensemble. Invest at the Craftsman's Art Auction, a silent auction featuring the handcrafted artistry of local sculptors, painters, and craftsmen.
Tickets are $50 per person. Visit ShastaBE.com/events or call the Shasta Builders Exchange at 221-5556.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Whistleblowers.
You know what? You just can't find a better song. If you could just play that for every single break. We wouldn't be able to do the show, though. We'd all have tears running down our faces. Oh, man. I was just looking up some of the money while we were on the break. I guess maybe that's why the tears were running down my face. Because this was an expensive proposition. Like, here's a little clip out of Military Times. The investigators said the moves carried with them fewer responsibilities but no salary reductions, plus generous relocation payouts. Now, all that added up to about $400,000. So Graves, who made nearly $174,000 a year, got more than $129,000 to move from Philadelphia to Minnesota. Rubens, who makes $181,000, received more than $288,000 to move from Washington, D.C. to Philadelphia. Well, that's money well spent.
See, but I think that's an issue with the program in and of itself, and I'd be curious if they looked at the whole federal government with this program that I'm sure, you know, other agencies have it as well or something similar to it. The big, if you have an expensive house, I believe, I'm not, you know, an expert on this program or anything, but I think it's called the appraised value offer program or something. It's where, you know, that they'll actually, your house, if it doesn't sell within a certain number of days, then something happens, and then they get a percentage of the sale price. So I feel like if somebody has an expensive house,
that's going to drive it up. But see, what a great way. Look around the country at how many people are buried in their house. So if you could engineer, I mean, if somebody bought a house in our area back, 2008, 2009, something like that, they bought at the absolute top of the market, and if they needed to sell now, they'd be doomed. But if you could engineer yourself a transfer where it was considered a hardship, therefore you qualified for relocation, this isn't just moving stuff. This isn't just paying Beacons or Mayflower. This actually helps you with the sale of your house. Gosh, if you could engineer a deal like that, you could get out of a house that's upside down and stick the taxpayers with it. I don't know if that happened in this case, but, I mean, it's a lucrative option if you can make it work.
And yeah, it
wasn't like they all just decided to move either. I mean, there's a whole email trail that shows them, hey, you move over here, I'll move over there. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, you know, just whether I work at the place or I don't, just, and you know, somebody looking at it from the outside, sometimes you wonder, like, were all of these moves necessary? I mean, I think the thing that's interesting to me is, in Philadelphia, we had, you know, somebody running our office who probably, he wasn't very familiar with the VA. He came from a different agency. That was Mr. McKendrick. And at the time, our office had a lot of problems, and we had been reporting problems at that point for a good amount of time. So to bring somebody into our building that didn't have much experience at the VA, that had really none, was not, you know, I don't believe, was not the best move. And then you have this person running the building and things are going wrong, and you know, I think they had to do something.
Well, this was
a lot going on.
This was a big place too, or is a big place. How many people work there, ballpark?
I honestly don't even know. I couldn't even guess. I'm not even sure, because we have an insurance center in our building. We have I think they oversee the Wilmington and Philadelphia offices. Our director does. So it's a big responsibility. And
like a couple,
Diana Rubin,
a couple thousand people?
What?
Like a couple thousand people?
I don't know. I want to guess maybe 1,000 employees, but, you know, I really don't know.
See, because, like, Oakland, with its two locations, so they process some stuff up by Sacramento, and then some things are in the Oakland office. I'm sure they have people who also work from home or different things like that. But it's around 300 people. And that's a, you know, I mean, it's a pretty big office. They push a lot of claims through there. So you guys are way above that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a stressful job. You know, you get pressure from probably Washington to make certain numbers, you know, which I'm sure the people in Washington have good intentions. They want to take care of more veterans. But, you know, it's a high-pressure job. And to bring somebody in there, in my opinion, that had never had experience running a VA facility before, you know, that it was hard for him. So they thought, well, Diana Rubin, she's done a lot of jobs. She's been here a long time. You know, we'll bring her in to clean up this place. But the truth of the matter is we've had this help team there for a long time, which is employees that are from all different offices helping run our office. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they've been there a while. So, because we have a lot of vacant positions in our office due to different things that have happened. So they're filling in. And that's been a good experience. We're seeing people that haven't worked there for forever, and they don't know everybody that works there. So you get to see bright eyes and different management styles. So.
And where do they come from?
All over the country. We have people from Cleveland. We have people from Carolinas.
Really?
Winston-Salem. Yeah. So.
And do they stay there for like months and months and months or weeks?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, months at a time.
And this was all as a result of sort of a shakeup. Is that right?
I mean, I don't know for sure.
Was that still when McKendrick was there?
Here, but when there was a shakeup, the people that were involved in the shakeup, you know, weren't in their jobs, and they needed people to replace them. So these people arrived.
Wow. So you guys
and they're very good people, I will say. I mean, you know, I can happily say that there are some really great people that do work in the VA. So.
Well, of course, everybody can't be. I mean, no agency is so unlucky as to hire all, you know, everyone that doesn't know what they're doing. But it was kind of the appearance of impropriety on all of it, especially when, well, they pled the Fifth Amendment at the congressional hearing. What, the second hearing, third hearing? Because the very first one, they answered the questions. And that was when Chairman Miller pointed out that Diana Rubin's, what, mom and sister live right by Philadelphia or in Philadelphia?
Yeah, he said that her mother lived, I think he said Wilmington, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because he's like, so you don't know anybody there, so it's a hardship. And we had a little fun with that last time. But so she was able to move closer to her mom, making $181,000 down to a job that paid, what, $129,000, I think?
See, that's another law, though. That's another issue. Like that's why I was interested in watching the hearing because I wanted to see what are the rules about all this kind of stuff. You know, I was just actually curious, it was interesting to see that there isn't a law that prohibits somebody from being she's an SES, which is a senior executive service, which in general gets paid higher than the general GS, 1 to 15, or I don't know where it starts, but up to GS 15, and there was no law like that said that like she couldn't go from this job that had a responsibility of, maybe say 56 offices or however many she was over at the time to being over one office. Like per the rules and the laws, it allowed her to keep the same pay for doing, what one might argue less work.
But did that position pay that much before she took it?
The person who had it prior to her was that Mr. McKendrick. So I don't know. Okay, I don't think his salary was as high as hers, but I really don't know because I don't know. I mean, their salaries have been posted in various IG reports, and I'm thinking back, and I don't remember his being as high as hers. But they like to have.
Yeah, I remembered seeing it. I remembered seeing it posted at 129. And the thing is, the rule says that they can't lower the salary if they transfer them from one job to another, and even though the job technically pays at a lower rate, they can't lower their salary unless they get a bad review.
Yep, that's exactly what it did say. It said something about less than fully successful.
Less than fully successful. So I guess being investigated by Congress doesn't count as less than fully successful.
I think
that would be a black mark
point
on your record.
But that's an interesting point that I think we actually discussed on one of the prior shows before about forget about this situation for a minute, but how do certain things continue at the VA? And part of that is because everything at the VA goes off of these performance standards, it seems, and for each position, there's these standards of what you need to do to be successful, fully successful, excellent, whatever, you want to get. So If you're a bargaining unit employee, not all of them, but the ones that process the claims, they're in production. So if you don't make this production number, these points, you'll be considered, you know, not fully successful because you didn't pass one of your major categories, you know, that you're supposed to, you know, do well in. So when it comes to the management at the VA, you know, I'm not sure what their production standards say, but if it was something like, hey, if you have 10 EEO complaints filed against you and you lose 9 of them, costing the government X amount of dollars, you know, maybe you shouldn't get fully successful for the year. I don't know what their standards say, but I would believe that they're probably not that difficult to maintain. So it becomes hard to hold someone accountable.
Yeah, no kidding.
And apparently, that's where the problem.
Well, and then when they identified that it was probably inappropriate that they got all this money, Miller discovered to his probably never-ending angst that they actually weren't. There was no law that allowed them to take the money back.
No, there's not.
Yeah, which
because they didn't break a law. They didn't break a law.
Yeah,
they didn't break any laws. You know, like
no, they just kind of bamboozled it. There's no bamboozling clause. Very unfortunate. We need one.
So, well, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to make people look, you know, tighter. You know, or just, you know, say that next time maybe you shouldn't be involved in this.
Well, maybe next time you shouldn't use your VA email account to email your coworker to hatch such a plan. That would be kind of a good starting point right there. Be not to make it so discoverable. You'd go more the Hillary route. Use your own email and
get your own server.
Get your own
ticket.
Server.
Yeah,
get it in the bathroom. I hear that's a great place for a server. All right, sorry, I digress. We better take a quick break though. We're going to come right back, and we've got some of this, actually a lot of it, posted. I didn't drag it all to this particular page, but I did link you to the page on previous programs, so you can see all the paper trail of all this. Definitely don't take our word for it. It's kind of good reading. It's interesting, and a lot of the publications that have done the coverage, they've had a little fun with it, so it's not completely dry research there. We'll be back with Kristen Rule. We're chatting about the Philadelphia VA situation. How about that? You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.
Teach me, teach. Show me how.
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460, KCNR.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
Hi, this is Sue Blake from Powerhouse Solar. Well, like most people, you are probably considering how you're going to reduce your household expenses and make those dollars stretch a little further. At Powerhouse Solar, we specialize in helping people find peace in the chaos. By lowering their electric bills through solar energy, we put them back in control and help them save money. We design solar systems that lower your energy bills, give you a manageable monthly payment you can count on, and avoid the electric rate increases. If you want energy independence with a battery backup system, we do that too. Getting solar installed on your home or business is a smart way to combat rising energy bills, and choosing the superior quality of SunPower Solar is equally important. Powerhouse Solar, we're a premier dealer for SunPower. We choose to partner with SunPower because they are the strongest American solar manufacturing company with the best warranty and the most efficient solar panel in the world. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or learn more at powerhousesolar.com.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
To affectionately call that one the taxpayer's lament. It's probably not going to get any better, guys. I'm sorry. We're going to keep talking about government waste, fraud, and abuse. It's fabulous. So we're here with Christian Rohl, who you started as a whistleblower in Philadelphia. How long ago?
The first time I reported things was in 2010.
Dang.
Yeah, I've been reporting things for a while. And, I mean, it took until, I'd say about 2012 when people started to listen, because the New York Times had published an article about duplicate payments where veterans were getting multiple checks a month when they were only supposed to get one. So that was the first time, I guess, you know, that they were starting to listen to what we were saying. For a while, though, they didn't really pay much attention to anything we reported. It was just sad.
Well, did it happen like it has happened in lots of other places where the people who pipe up basically get fired? And I know we've done some shows with you about that. So because you had the foresight to go to law school before you went to work for the VA, you've been able to maintain your own employment and that of, what, a couple dozen other people? Is that still current?
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate because the job I was doing, I knew that I needed to get into a job that was not production-based, so I had applied for a job to be a quality review. So I would review the accuracy of the benefit claims, so I knew that if I was in a job where I didn't have production standards, it's harder for them to fire me that way. A lot of the whistleblowers that got fired, they didn't get fired. You know, the agency would say they got fired for production. So I knew there's different things that I believe they do to play games with the numbers, to make your numbers not look as good, and I did not want to be subject to any of that kind of stuff. So the job that I had was not a production-based job, which I think was really important to my survival.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good idea. And, you know, the thing that's really contrary to logic is you would think, you would want people, you know, if you're on the outside looking in, you know, that from the taxpayer standpoint, you're like, well, I hope they're on production, you know, they should be producing things, and if they're not producing things, then bad things should happen. The problem is, it's not a good one-size-fits-all. You just, all these claims are different. Some are super complicated. Some have been screwed up by other people. And they need some time. The problem is, if you're getting counted, and there's no allowance for that, right? Before I say that, is that actually true?
And one of the biggest issues, even if you put all that aside and you said, let's just do the cookie cutter claim that we have all the documents here, the computer systems are a whole other story.
Oh, that's right. They shut down all the time.
Well, and even when they're working, there's documents that they get scanned into the computer. We went virtual. A lot of people are able to work at home now because a lot of the documents are in the computer. But the way that they're in there, if you're working on a claim, you have to click and open so many different things in a long list. When you're working on this claim, you know, if the person has a lot of evidence in there, a lot of medical evidence, if they've mailed in a lot of correspondence to the VA, you have to look at every single piece of paper before you make the decision on the claim. So the more stuff that's in the folder, the longer that claim is going to take. Now, that's not the person who's processing the claim's fault, but they're the ones that get penalized if they don't make their numbers at the end of the day. And so, it's, you know, it's a catch-22. There are employees at the VA, I mean, I've seen them with my own eyes, that they just, you know, they come there to get a paycheck. So you do have to have some sort of a metric to make sure that certain people do their work. Because once you get a job at the government, it is a property right, and it's not that easy for you to get rid of somebody.
Yes,
it's kind of sad, though, that you know, a person can be clipping along, doing a good job, and their performance is great, and for the first time they see something that's not right and they speak out about it, all of a sudden their performance is no good and they're out the door.
Well, because you get these big, thick files, and now you're held to the same standard as you were with the, as you termed them, cookie-cutter files.
Right, see, and they're in charge of your managers inside of, in charge of assigning the workload. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, saying that I can tell you that every manager does this, but it would be very easy for a manager, and in people that I've represented in cases, I've seen certain situations that don't look so, they look a little stinky where, you know, this person's brand new and they're getting these giant claim folders
with tons and tons
of documents. Yeah, I mean, that situation to me, I mean, if I was in charge of his team, I wouldn't want to give the brand new person all those files because I know that they're new and they probably don't know what they're doing. So how fair is that to the veteran?
Yeah, no kidding, because we did that show with Ken, and he actually sent a picture of what his room looked like on the first day. I should look back, and I forget what the date of that program was, but I'll look here. And he walks in, he's brand new, and he literally has a room that looks like an episode of Hoarders. And somehow he's supposed to be, you know, blowing through these.
So if you look at one of those claim folders and you see how thick it is, then what they've done is they've taken those documents and the claim folders and scanned them into a computer program, but every document is its own entry. So imagine having to look through all of that by clicking and looking on your computer. You know, sometimes we have double screens, but to process a claim, you really have to look through all those pieces of paper to make sure you're doing the right thing.
Do you think it's actually easier to have it all scanned in the computer than it is to have it just in a file altogether?
I actually, you know, one of the Congress people, when I testified the very first time, I actually said the answer to that would be no. I said, I'd rather have the old claim folders because, for me, you know, I like to tab things. I like to see it in front of me. I like to flip back to it on the computer. It's hard to do that. So I actually did say that, and I took some heat at the first hearing. She said, are you kidding me? You'd rather have this old, you know, folder? And I said, yeah. I said, for me, I work better that way.
Well, because I think we all kind of have experienced this. You can make little piles. You can sort. And it's really hard when you can only see one screen at a time. You can't make notes really on it. Just for reference here, that was August 9th. When we had Ken on there, and there's a little picture of his office, which is just a nightmare. I mean, I remember we kind of, and we mentioned to people that each one of those big, thick folders that's stuffed with paper that has a rubber band around it, at least they look like rubber bands. I don't know, maybe there's something more complex than that. But that's just one guy's case. Do they call them volumes? Is each one of those folders called volumes?
Some of the folders do have multiple volumes, so we just call them claim folders, and it's the Veteran C folder, and then all their documents should be in there. And then they have another folder, too. I mean, so when you process a claim, that isn't the only folder you need to look at. Sometimes you have to look in the service treatment records, which are another set of documents, because that's just the Veteran's claim folder that's in that picture. So then, you know, we have to reach out and get documents occasionally from other agencies. So it's not, sometimes these claims, it's not somebody's fault if the claim can't be done fast, you know, because we need to get documents from other places that are beyond our control as to the speed of when we, you know, receive them. And then they go into the mailroom and they have to get sorted and
yeah, and there are multiple locations for all these things, which I think is really another, an issue with just how it processes, because it isn't even all, it would be like going in to check your email that you have 10 possible programs to check in order to get all of your email done.
Well, I guess what concerns me is you have a situation where they can't keep track of a person's claim when it's in paper form. How easy would it be for them to lose track of it if it's in a computer file somewhere? It gets filed away in the wrong folder or whatever on a computer, you might not ever be able to find it. I mean, is the system that they use now, I mean, is it a system that is, you know, foolproof where you're not going to be losing people's information?
I would hope so. There, I will say from the job that I currently do, I work for my VA, which is the secretary's plan. It's like a business plan to fix the VA, and it's interesting, and I'm enjoying it a lot. There's a big emphasis right now on improving the veterans' experience, where, you know, veterans will be more in touch with the VA. They're making new websites. They're trying to, instead of having a whole bunch of 1-800 numbers, just have one 1-800 number. So,
oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and like if you know, there's you know, this thing called the VA Integrated Plan, where it's the plan to, you know, how we're going to transform this agency, kind of bring it up to date, I guess is the best way to say it. And it's cool because there's a lot in the works that I didn't know about until I worked here. You know, and they do a pretty good job of you know, telling the public. Like, I've been to a seminar where they invited VSOs and different people to come and hear what the VA is doing. Mm-hmm. And it's promising. They're making a lot of advances where veterans will be able to check different things themselves and not always have to rely on calling and writing letters and
you know, without getting into the minutiae of the whole system, can a veteran access, or can anybody within the VA access a particular veteran's information? I mean, are they identified by a number, which will give them everything in their file from start to finish, or is it you know, filed away in all these different things where you know, you it's more difficult to find? How do they keep it straight?
Well, there's different parts of the VA, different administrations. So there's the Veterans Health and the Veterans Benefits. So the Veterans Benefits have certain computer programs where if you filed claims with the VA before, we can look in there and see everything you've ever filed for your claims for benefits. Then we also have access to different programs with the medical center where we can see certain things that we need to see if it involves granting a benefit and, you know, different types of medical exams. There's other systems we can go into, but the plan for the future, and I, you know, I don't quote me on this. I don't want to say something that's not exactly what's happening, but they're supposed to make it better so that if you're a veteran and you go to the VA where you guys are and change your address or, I don't know, get something done there, that when you come into Philadelphia, we'll know that you changed your address. You know, it's not going to be, there's all these different systems and they want to make it one VA.
Right, right. Because so, I know in the past, haven't they had an issue with you send a form in, or you fill out a form and send it in, and then it gets filed someplace and they can't find it, and then it doesn't get entered? And, you know, I mean, is that part getting kind of straightened out a little bit?
Yeah, because before you could mail things everywhere.
Right.
But now they're going to have just certain places where you should mail things, and it'll go into the computer so that everybody everywhere can look at what you mailed in the computer.
Good.
So I will say that from what I can see from where I work, I do feel like there's a lot of hope. I feel like things are getting a lot better. I feel like the VA just kind of was operating in maybe a time period that I would refer to as kind of dinosaur age-ish, where, mm-hmm. you know, we had old computer programs. Not all of them talked to each other. We were pressured to produce a certain amount, but the tools that we had to do our job maybe weren't the best that they could be. Caused people to do some things to make numbers that they might not have done if they weren't so pressured. Some people might have still made those choices, but I don't believe all of them would have. So I feel like they're improving things. It's taking a while, but I think
I would imagine there's quite a backlog. I mean, to take all these paper files and convert them into electronic files, that's got to be a huge job.
And then to make sure they all belong where they
right.
yep.
you know, to connect them all to the individual person. I just keep thinking if my mom was given a big scanning project, and, you know, it's funny, it's all fun and games to have it scanned, and then where'd it go?
Yeah, where do you put it? Where do you file it?
I hate to break in here, but we've got to take one more quick break for at the top of the hour. And now someone's calling, oh, the pressure's on. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Go there. I added Ken Crandall's workload. It's right on there for you to look at.
She just started liking cheating song. That was bothering me. I don't know if it's the cheating she likes or just the melody.
You're tuned to AM 1460 KCNR, where you're listening to We the People.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Redding. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Redding can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
City of Reading Public Works presents Water's Extreme Journey at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Starting January 29th, you can take the journey of a lifetime through the entire water cycle. This giant, interactive maze is loaded with fun, full-body and hands-on activities for the whole family. Water's Extreme Journey is created and traveled by Minotaur Mazes. Join the exciting and important quest for clean water at Turtle Bay. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Maybe that should be our theme song. We're always out fishing for a good story.
There's some dirty laundry in there. We'd take that,
dang,
too.
There is some dirty laundry out there. A never-ending parade. It doesn't matter what doesn't matter what we're talking about. There's always that opportunity. So, Kristen, I know we have you hostage for another full hour, but in the last minute or so here, what, like, just because we screwed up all the breaks, sorry, I'll do better. What, you know, the project that you're working on for the secretary, can you kind of tell us more about that? Will you be able to tell us more? I realize you can't do it in 30 seconds, but, you know.
Well, yeah, there's different, he just has different pieces of the project. There's employee experience, veteran experience, strategic partnerships. So it's interesting, like, you know, there's different things that they do to make all the different pieces of the VA run better. And I work in an idea house where employees submit ideas to make processes go better at the VA.
Oh my gosh, that's a great job for you.
I know, I love it. It's one of the coolest jobs I've ever had.
That sounds like a major step forward in the process, though, really. I mean, because who better to give you ideas on how to improve
They're
it?
They're like, this woman's got nothing but opinions.
Yeah. So, like, you know,
that was actually pretty smart.
And, yeah, we've had over 5,000 ideas come in, and it's very, and, you know, you see from the people doing the job what could be improved, and then we evaluate them and send them to the different places where they need to go, and hopefully at some point they get implemented.
That is fabulous. Okay, we want to hear more about that. We've got to listen to the news, however, so we need to go do that. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be back. We're talking about the VA.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Later message said three men wearing all black were seen and that the lockdown remains in effect until further notice. President Obama is pledging to nominate a successor to Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia in due time. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and other Republicans say that that task should be left for the next president. One of those voices is Republican presidential candidate Senator Marco Rubio.
He has the legal right to do it, but and as president, I would recognize that precedent. And the precedent that's been set over the last 80 years has been that in the last year of a president's term, I mean the second term especially, there should not be Supreme Court nominees put into lifetime positions.
Meanwhile, Scalia's colleagues are grieving his death yesterday at the age of 79. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said she and Scalia were best buddies for more than 30 years. Justice Clarence Thomas said, "It is hard to imagine the court without my friend." Presidential candidates for both parties are scrambling to win the support of important constituents in South Carolina. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Republican and Democratic White House hopefuls are seeking the support of Hispanics in the state, while Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton make a concerted effort to court South Carolina's black voters. For GOP contenders, there's a big push to win over evangelical Christians in the Palmetto State. These social and religious conservatives comprise the Republican base and are expected to play an influential role in next weekend's primary. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Authorities say a Clarksdale, Mississippi police officer is in critical condition after being shot in the head while investigating a robbery across the street from a police station. WREG-TV reports that police have released a video of two possible suspects in the shooting. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The Angels from Visiting Angels are standing by to care for the loved ones in your life who need in-home care. If you have a family member or friend who needs assistance at home with hygiene, meals, light housework, errands, or companionship, I hope you'll consider Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. If you know someone who wants to remain independent, these are the people who can help. Rates are surprisingly affordable, and up to 24-hour in-home care is available. You can even select your caregiver before care begins. Franchise opportunities are also available. With more than 500 franchised locations nationwide, there's an office near you. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or online at visitingangels.com. For senior home care from the real-life angels of Visiting Angels, call toll-free 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care at 877-374-LIVE or online at visitingangels.com.
It has been a weather roller coaster this winter. While the eastern U.S. has been experiencing record cold temperatures, the southwest could see record highs. National Weather Service lead forecaster Bob Orevec.
A lot of times the weather patterns that support very cold air being transported southward out of Canada also support very warm temperatures across the western U.S. And often you need the very warm temperature set up in the western U.S. to support the very cold temperature set up in the eastern U.S.
And Orvik says there's a developing winter storm spreading out of the Ohio and upper Mississippi valleys. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says staffers for Vice President Joe Biden are arriving in Israel ahead of a possible Biden visit. At his weekly cabinet meeting, Netanyahu cited reports that Biden was considering visiting Israel soon. He said that Biden's staff is landing in Israel Sunday, but there were no dates yet for a visit. The White House had no comment. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. If you want to join the Army, you're going to have to get physical.
Beginning this summer, Army recruiters will require a new set of gymnastic tests to help determine what military jobs are recruits physically capable of performing. Prospective soldiers will be asked to run, jump, lift a weight, and throw a heavy ball. The new tests come as the Pentagon's opening all combat posts to women, a process that involves setting physical standards for every job recruits will have to meet. As part of the effort, the Army will increase the number of female recruiters to better target women. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
The federal government plans to spend $80 million assessing whether its hottest nuclear waste can be stored in three-mile-deep holes. The project could provide an alternative strategy to a Nevada repository, a plan that was halted in 2010. The five-year borehole project was tentatively slated to start later this year on state-owned land in rural North Dakota. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. We are chatting with Kristen Rule today regarding the VA. We're talking specifically about Philadelphia, but we're kind of talking about a new program she's been working on. And let's see, you can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. My name is Erin Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Bob provides all the music, just in case you were confused about which one in this trio is actually talented with all the songs. That's not Bill and I are on the other side with no buttons. We're not allowed.
They won't let us push any buttons.
No, we don't get to touch the important stuff. We can touch the headsets.
I pushed a button at work one time, and boy, did I get in trouble. Whoo!
Well, we were reading on the chat room, apparently Boo pressed something and disconnected himself, so he can't come in here and push any buttons either.
No, he's banned.
He's hard.
Yeah, he got ejected.
sometimes...
As much as we would like to have blamed somebody for pushing a button that caused our operating system to fail here yesterday... apparently, it just died a natural death, or so we thought. But thanks to Ron Smith and all our tech, Bob Belongi and the tech crew, who were able to bring it back to life. Otherwise, you would be filibustering for 2 hours with no commercials today.
Nice. Well, I was just going to say the first hour went really fast, so I guess we could have slowed it down if we would have had to fill in the blanks. So let's see. Where did I leave off? What was I thinking? I always forget to tell people, but we air live on Sundays from noon to 2 here on the West Coast, and then it replays in the Philadelphia area on WNJC on the Conservative Commandos radio network from 1 to 3 on Monday afternoons. You can catch our podcasts anytime
on
the website.
1 to 3 Eastern time.
Yeah, in Philadelphia.
10 to noon Pacific time for you obsessive fans.
Just in case you want it all converted for you. In case we need to hold their little hands.
In case you want to tune in on TuneIn and listen to the program again tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's true. And, you know, you might want to hear it without commercials, in which case Robert Exter does that from home. He peels out all the commercials, and we post those online. Wednesday must be a big day for people to listen to the commercial-free archive because lots of hits on that day.
Yes.
So if you've got any ideas for sponsorship, or you'd like to see, you know, just have your business advertised on there or whatever, we have pretty friendly standards there. Happy to do that. And any show ideas, actually, that's another thing we forgot to pitch. If you have any ideas for guests, topics, or any of that, our stuff is all online. So let's see. We have David in San Francisco who called during the news. He's been our hostage here for a few minutes. So I don't know if he has a question or a comment, but how's it going, David?
Well, not too bad. And, you know, I just also wanted to let you know that your podcast holds up well through time.
That's good to know.
That's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually calling you from the year 2030.
There you go.
How'd we do?
I had a question for you. What is Microsoft?
Are they still processing your VA claim? Sorry.
Hey, well, you know where I was going to go? You know, I've heard both your hours as well as the previous show, too. And, you know, the economy is crashing right now, and the politics is, you know, trying to... Good grief, my computer's trying to do something.
So you're not really in the future?
You know, I think I've called your show as well as some of the other shows up there talking about how the Saudi Arabians are really ISIS. Well, if you look at what they've been doing... The Saudis are trying to crush Russia, and because they're competitors in a natural gas pipeline that would cross Syria, and so all of the world's economy as it's crashing right now is directly related to the Saudi Arabians, and so what I've been doing, you know, we're in NAFTA, we're also in GATT, and they're trying to get this new TPP. Well, everybody knows those are fixed games and, you know, giving away America's sovereignty to some corporate con artists. I'm just wondering, what would be the logic of sicking GATT against the Saudi Arabians right now? You know, you pit Frankenstein against Godzilla or something like that and see which one of them survives. And so the GATT, you know, officially the Saudis are, they're basically doing price dumping of gasoline. They're selling it for so cheap that everybody is going bankrupt. And they're trying to kill the Russians by bankrupting Russia, but what they're ending up doing is bankrupting China and the United States besides. So they're just doing obvious price dumping of gasoline. So why don't we sic GATT on the Saudis for price dumping?
I have no idea. And our guest Kristen works for the VA, so I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that segue, but
I didn't catch the, that you were still on the VA.
Yeah, I was like, how are we gonna get back to? I'm not. Are we gonna trade our trade our claims out to the Saudis?
No, well, actually, I'll do you a quick one on that. To me, what we've got, you know, VA is burdened by really expensive cancers, and diabetes is now this massive epidemic. When I was a kid, it was like 1 in 1,000 people. Now it's 1 in 3 people have diabetes. I mean, that's just crazy. So we've got at epidemics of cancer, where 1 in 50 is going to be getting cancer nowadays. So VA is going bankrupt because we are trying to finance the polluters who gave us cancer and are giving us diabetes. So we have to go after the people that are poisoning us. And the VA is caught in the middle because anybody that walks in that's got a vet's history is entitled to get care.
Actually, that's not totally true. If they don't have a service-connected disability, they have to be below an income threshold. So
really?
So
they can deny them at the emergency room?
It wouldn't be the emergency room. The VA doesn't necessarily, the VA clinics or whatever don't necessarily have an emergency room.
That's ugly.
Well,
massive ugly.
Kind of depends. I mean, there's a whole system for it. But yeah, it wouldn't be necessarily just because you served at some period in time that you would get VA care.
Well, if you know, out here in San Francisco, we've got we're earthquake country. And if you've ever been down here, you know, we have these bus lines, the electrical bus lines. And when those wires fall in an earthquake, you can't drive an ambulance across them. So it's a smart idea to have clinics everywhere. You know, so there were people that could not get across emergency lines because they were down, and even though they were, you know, a half mile away, and the ambulance could not cross it. So the idea that you've got small towns all across America, I think this came up just a few months ago. Wasn't there like a former general, a female general down in Hawaii, and she's some distance away by car, but by the crow flies, she's close to a VA. So she can't go to a local clinic. She has to go to the VA hospital for any treatment. And it's the idea of coming up with rules to say that you can't be treated. It creates more hassle than it is to just see everybody, you know?
Kind of. Actually, the thing that would be a whole lot easier would be if the CHOICE program, as it was originally conceived, would be to allow veterans to get care wherever they wanted. So rather than have to funnel them all through one system, regardless of distance and all those kinds of things, the CHOICE program was going to allow them to use VA or use local services, especially if they're in outlying rural areas. But our friend Bernie Sanders filibustered that to death, and then we wound up with some limitations and all sorts of other machinations. But that would have been easy. He just kind of sees it as a good template for socialized medicine, so he doesn't want to take any pieces of it apart. And for the folks that are using it, it either works great or it works, I don't know, you get a varying report back on how well it's working.
Kristen, have you been getting feedback on the CHOICE program and what you're doing? How is it working out on your end?
I am not involved in any way with anything with the hospital, so I don't even know.
Yeah, see, she wouldn't deal with the medical stuff. Do you know the requirements, though? Am I right on that? I think it's an income threshold that allows you to use
VA healthcare. I just don't know what it is. Do you happen to have that handy little statistic?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know.
But it's an income threshold. So if you're a veteran and you have no other health care and you're below a certain income, you can use the VA, and that's pretty easily figured out. You know, go to your local facility or your local veteran resource center, veteran service office. You have kind of lots of ways to do it. Talk to me about the phone number thing that you were speaking of earlier, because that brings me to another topic I hear from people a lot. That when they call the phone number, actually I called one day, and I thought, you got to be kidding me. It says, like, welcome to the such and such a clinic. If you think you're going to commit suicide, dial 1-800, and it gives this big old long number, press extension 2. It was almost like a joke. It's like, oh, I was going to commit suicide, but hold on, let me go get a pen.
Yeah, actually, we see a lot of...
You going to fix that?
A lot of issues... relating to the phones and our veterans crisis lines, that's the type of stuff they're working on. There's certain things that are priorities that are going to be done first, and then other things that the plan is to fix those as well. So they're gonna supposedly have a lot of improvements to the crisis lines and the phone, so that you don't have to call so many different places.
Oh my gosh, that would be fantastic! And then are you guys also talking about e-benefits? Was supposed to be the portal for veterans to go to check on claims and different things, but my understanding is e-benefits was run by DOD, and the other stuff was run by VA, and a lot of times the systems didn't talk, so they would tell someone that their claim wouldn't be done for a year, but then they just got the response in the mail. I mean, they were just crazy.
Yeah, that's all part of this integrated plan where we're going to be sharing more records with, you know, other agencies, and just, I think the whole purpose of it, it's centered around making the veterans' experience with the VA much better than what they have been experiencing in the past. So there's so many different things that are in the works. I will be really interested to see how many of them actually come to fruition, but the idea behind it is awesome.
So,
and I mean, just looking at, you know, from seeing everything that I've seen from working there, if it would be fixed in like a month, I would know that the fix probably wouldn't be a good one, because it's not going to be able to be fixed so fast. There's so many things that need to be updated, and so I think it's awesome to see that there's a plan in place that, you know, could work. So I'm pretty excited.
That's kind of fun. And how many of you are there in this project?
I honestly don't even know how many people are in the project, because it's the secretary's plan called MyVA, and there's all different departments working on different things. I just work with the Idea House, where the employees can make suggestions to improve the VA, and I just work on that piece of it. But there's many pieces of the pie, and I don't even know all the parts of it, but I do know that everybody that I've ever met that works with MyVA has been an amazing person and an awesome employee, and I'm really happy to be part of the team. And it's a lot different than what I experienced in the regional office. So
nice.
These people are in charge of fixing the place. I can say that I think we're in good hands, just from what I've seen working there.
That's really good. I did not know that was going on, so that's a nice thing to let people know. Is it only going to affect benefits and benefits-related stuff, or will it also cross over into the healthcare?
Oh, yeah. It crosses over into all aspects of the VA.
Oh, good.
I mean, it's not just with benefits. It's, you know, there's all kinds of things going on with healthcare and improvements. And there was actually a congressional hearing on, oh gosh, I want to say the 21st of last month, but I don't want to have the wrong date, where the secretary talked about my VA. So I'm sure if anybody's interested, they could probably, I'm sure it's on YouTube or somewhere. I think it was a Senate Committee of Veterans Affairs. It wasn't like a House committee one. I think it was a Senate committee. And the Secretary of the VA talked about my VA and all the different things, yeah, that they're going to be doing to improve. It's called the transformation. That's what they call it. So it's to transform the VA into, like, eventually the goal at the end is to say, like, nobody would want to go anywhere else but the VA because it's doing such a good job. So...
Nice.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's a lofty goal there.
Would it have been in
I know.
Would the hearing have been in January? Modern.
Yeah,
what,
I think
it
was January 21st.
Okay, good. I just found it. I will.
It was the Senate. It was before, I think, the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs, and Robert McDonald testified.
Outstanding. You know what? I'll post these articles because this is stuff that I think people missed. I know I missed it, so I'm sure I'm not the only one. Let's take a really quick break. We're going to come back with Kristen Rule while I post this on the website. Of course, I could do that and talk, but it is a lot more fun when we're actually on a break and I can do it. So I will update the website here at wethepeopleradio.us and come back with you in 2 minutes.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
You're listening to We the People on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Mary McCurdy, and I represent Properties by Merit. We are a locally owned full-service real estate firm. Whether you are buying or selling, I can help. Call me today at 949-1550 or check out my website at marymccurdy.com. At Properties by Merit, we make your dreams become reality. Call or text me at 949-1550.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
This is Carl Lindabot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, it's President's Day, and yeah, we're going to be here. And let's talk about a few things that are in the news. What about the new subpoenas on the Clinton Foundation? What's going on there? 7 police killed in 7 days. Where's the outrage from the press and the public and especially the politicians? All of this Monday, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
There you go, Kristen. If you needed a theme song, now you have one. This is, did they play this at the hearing?
I don't think so. It's kind of quiet.
Yeah, probably not. You know, they're no fun over there. You know, the Senate, they're so grouchy. That's funny. So so what other stuff are you guys going to fix? I'm excited about this.
I don't even know. Like, it's, you know, it. I think the way it's going is promising, though, I will say. Like, you know, I used to always go to work and feel like there was no hope and see problems and report them, and I felt like my complaints were going to the black hole. But now...
Because they were.
Now I feel like it's different. Like, I feel like it's on the mend. So...
Well, who knew? I'm so glad we were doing this little update, because I thought we were still auguring in.
I mean, I think there's going to be the share of people that are still in management that got there maybe not because of their talents. And they're going to be there for a little while, so I think there's still going to be some issues with that kind of stuff, but for
the
most part...
We still have to chase them around.
Yeah, but I think everybody's aware now, after everything that's happened in the last year and a half, 2 years, that, you know, employees aren't afraid anymore to report things. They're not going to get bullied. They're not going to do things that aren't right. We just want to come to work. We want to do our best. We want to help veterans. We want everyone to get along, do your job, or don't work here anymore. So I feel like the shakeup was a little bit, there's some good things that came out of it, because I feel like people realize now, you know.
That's outstanding. Now tell me this, do Rubens and Graves, do they still work there? Or did they get transferred somewhere?
On paper, I'm not sure where they're supposed to be. Diana did discuss at the hearing when she testified that, you know, she was supposed to be reporting to Houston. But then, you know, when they won their cases, I'm not sure. A lot of employees ask, like, who's in charge of our building at the moment? And we receive emails that this person that they have flown in to fill the spot of Diana temporarily, that's who's in charge at the moment. So if we have any problems, that's who we report to. So I'm not really sure what's going on with their cases at the moment, because we have somebody we report to as our director, and we don't currently, as employees, we're not told to report to Diana Rubens. So I'm not really sure.
Wow. Well, that's kind of an interesting, and the good part is you don't have to work on that anymore. When you work from home, how does that go? You get emails of people's ideas, suggestions, or how do you guys divvy that up and decide who works on what?
There's a whole computer program where employees can go in and submit their ideas, and then we man the idea house, so we will see the ideas that were submitted, and we check them for different things, like if there's duplicates or certain things the VA doesn't have control to fix, like if it takes a legislative change or something like that, then it's really not under the purview of what we do. We're trying to tackle the things that say, okay, this is how we're doing something, and this could be done better if we did it this way. So depending on what kind of idea it is, you know, we do different things with it, but mainly we make sure that it's even worth moving to the next stage for evaluation, because certain things, you know, can be the greatest idea in the world, but if it takes a law to change it, there's really not much we can do internally about that.
Interesting. How much of that do you see that the different law? I mean, because let's face it, you get different people elected to Congress, you know, in the House potentially every 2 years, in the Senate, you know, a bit longer term, but you have a different mix of people each legislative session working on stuff. So I would imagine some of the laws maybe kind of overlap or don't help each other, I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I mean, thankfully, we don't really have to worry about much of that. Our job just is, okay, this person, you know, made this suggestion. Is it possible to do it? Or do we need somebody from Congress to step in to make this happen, you know? And no, I mean, we get all kinds of suggestions from different types of things, like you should be allowed to bring pets into work, to, hey, this program that we work on, you know.
Bill and I are laughing because we both take our dogs to work.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that weird?
Yeah, and I mean...
your comfort pig has to stay home, though. Your little support pig, he's got to stay home.
That's kind of cool. So do you think that's common, though? And, like, I'm not sure, like,
out here in the boonies? Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, probably wouldn't work in a big metropolitan area.
Out here in the
area.
Boonies,
it'd
we get to
look
do
like
that.
A zoo.
Can you imagine? Yeah, we get to take them all in the subway or whatever. Oh, my gosh, I totally forgot about boonies trapped on hold. What a knucklehead.
Yeah.
Do you even remember what your question was?
I'm going to get you off speaker.
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Boo, how you doing?
It's good you weren't holding that thing to your head the whole time. You'd have your ear would probably smell like hamburger.
Yeah. Am I live here?
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
You are.
Fire away.
Join the chaos.
Oh, yeah, I had to walk away from my radio.
I have to do that too sometimes.
Yeah, first of all, I got a question for Kristen, but before that, I want to let you know, every Sunday when I tune into your program, I rubbed my body down with Wesson oil so I could slip into my 1966 uniform. That's how patriotic I am.
There you go.
And that is a spectacular visual. I'll be updating the website here on that shortly, too.
Okay, Kristen, well, I don't know if this is in your think tank or not, but I was wondering, this will be a legislative process. Why can't disabled veterans, no matter if they're 10% or whatever, right now it's 100% to get dental care. Why couldn't every disabled vet get dental care? Because we're living on a fixed budget and dental care is so important to the overall health care of an individual anyway. And I was wondering if that's going to be a process that you may be able to look into as an opinion and go to Congress or start with our senators or wherever we have to go. But I think that's a would be a real bonus to a lot of veterans, many, many veterans. The older they get, their teeth deteriorate. And then if you're not disabled, maybe they could implement a law that if you were a vet and had an honorable discharge and weren't disabled, maybe you can get a discount of some sort, you know, through a dental program. And I'll take your thoughts off the air and get some of this oil off.
I was just going to say you'll slide on with your day.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, buddy.
He's funny.
So what about dental care, Kristen? Is that something that is...
Is that the kind of stuff you guys might work on or no?
That's something that we'd have to say we can't change as of now because it does take a legislative change. And a lot of people don't know a lot of that kind of stuff about the VA. Like if you get rated for a certain disability, the way that we process those claims and we rate you and the percentages, that's all mandated by laws. So some people say like, oh, we shouldn't have this rating system. They shouldn't have the 10% and the 40%. If you have, you know, this condition, you should get this amount of money and it should just be, you know, an all or nothing. But the VA doesn't really have the power to change that kind of stuff, you know, in my opinion, because it's all done. It's a legislative thing that we have to follow laws and regs for that kind of stuff.
Right. Can you request it? I know there are all sorts of rules about what agencies can do about impacting legislation. Are you allowed to actually request from the legislature some sort of a fix, or is there some issue with that?
As an employee?
Well, just as an agency. Like, if you guys come up with stuff, do they have a way to do that?
I honestly don't know that question. I've never been to it. I mean, so...
I remember one time I went to a meeting, and it was like a Forest Service thing or whatever, and they were complaining about something they couldn't do because Congress hadn't changed this certain law. And I said, well, did you guys ever tell anybody? And they're like, oh, well, we're not allowed to. And I thought, well, that's stupid. I'm kind of assuming maybe you have the same holdup. I'll do a little homework on that.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I ever felt like a law was, I know if a law is being violated as an employee, you can report that kind of stuff. That's how I ended up reporting these kind of things.
That's how you wound up where you are. Does any of the change that you guys are working on have to do with the process that you go through? I mean, you know, I realize, like fixing, you know, the 800 numbers and some stuff like that, that'd be fantastic. But how about the process for, say, issues to be reported or the production idea, like how they process claims? Do you get to mess around with that? Or
so in the position I have currently, we'll get ideas in that say, you know, this is how we're processing this type of claim, and if we did it this way, it would be done faster or better. So we do get exposure with ideas of people trying to make the process better. But again, even with VBA, everything we do is dictated by laws and regulations in the CFR, like what medical expenses we're allowed to count, which ones we can't count. Just the whole entire processing of the claim is all done by laws. So there's best practices. There's ways that we can interpret things maybe differently and people can make suggestions. But as in the actual law itself, you know, in the project that I'm doing right now, we don't really have any control over changing the law.
Sure.
We're dealing with the internal issues where maybe a policy could be improved or something like that.
That's kind of a good idea because, sure, some of the how things are handled, that's up to you guys. They don't make a law about that, right? Like how the mail comes in and if it gets scanned or not. That's not a law. That's the VA makes that decision, don't they?
Those are more internal procedures.
Sure.
Okay. In the way that we do things. So those can always be, you know, better. And I think that they are improving that kind of stuff. And through certain things that came out in the congressional hearings and through the media, I think they realized that there was a need to fix that part of the process. And I think that part's actually going a lot better. I haven't seen the kind of issues that I was seeing a long time ago with respect to the mail and claims coming in.
Sure, all the kind of monkey business.
In your present position of taking in suggestions and so forth, what's the most popular thing or the number one thing you hear the most that needs to be addressed?
Well, there's all kinds of different things. You know, a lot of people want, a lot of people request to have Wi-Fi in the hospitals. I was surprised at how many suggestions we get for that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm, in the waiting room. Like, and you see, like, a lot of different things you don't think about. Like, this job that I have now has opened up, you know, so many different, my eyes to a lot of different things. Like, veterans that have pets, and if a veteran has to go into the hospital, you know, where does their pet go? Or if they have to go to an appointment, and they have a pet with them, you know, like a
actually,
senior dog.
That's a huge, huge topic right now. Because, yeah, they won't let them in the dental clinic, at least here locally. That's been a big issue.
Right, and like if you have a dog and have to go to the bathroom, like is there spots for the dog? So like things, you know, I work in benefits. I never thought about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't see it firsthand, but you realize, you know, there's a lot of great suggestions, a lot of good points.
Well, and those are actual service animals, but interestingly enough, the VA doesn't have to follow ADA laws. So for all the people out there that are thinking like I used to, well, that's already all figured out because the Americans with Disabilities Act has that lined out. They don't have to follow that. So it does. I know that they're working on a policy out of the Sacramento office on the service animals because that's become a contentious issue. I know we need to take a really swift break here. Otherwise, we'll have them all at the very end again. Okay, I promised I was going to do better. I'm only halfway there. Kristen, maybe you could come out here and improve my performance. Maybe I could get you to oversee me. That would be so much better. I just heard a whole bunch of people go, yeah, that'd be good. All right, join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to We the People on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460 KCNR.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I'm so young and you're so old. This, my darling, I've been told. I don't care just what they say, 'cause forever I will pray. You and I, we will be as free as the bird up in the tree.
Oh, Diana.
There you go. For all those people that are like, where did that come from? That was from the first part of the show when we were talking about Diana Rubens. Oh, my goodness. Who was that, Bob?
That was Paul Anka.
Who knew? I was like, where are we going with this? Oh, Kristen, we are bad. All right, so let's see. What other stuff? Something crossed my mind before we took the break, and then I did something else. What are we missing? What other things do people want to know?
You asked the tough questions.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Bill wanted to know what the most popular stuff was. Wi-Fi and pets, you know, and I can tell you seriously out here, pets is a big issue. So I do hope you guys tackle that because they really need some consistency in their policy. Like they say that you can't have an animal in a treatment room, but if you're just getting your teeth cleaned, it isn't like you're having oral surgery or anything. And if it's a real service animal, I mean, you know, obviously they have to be real service animals, so they're not, you know, running around or chewing on cords and stuff like that. But apparently you guys don't have a universal policy for that.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, we're focused on the things that we read about in the media or the negative things, but you don't think about some of these issues. Like, it's honestly opened my eyes up working here, seeing the different things. And these are employees bringing up these issues, like, what they see on a daily basis and what could make things better for the veterans. So it's kind of cool to get that perspective.
Now, are you only getting them from, you must be getting them from the healthcare side as well as the benefit side.
Yeah, anybody who works in the VA anywhere, you could work in the education department, benefits, health, cemeteries, central office, any VA employee can submit an idea into the Idea House.
And how do they all know how to do that?
Yeah, we actually, it's pretty self-explanatory, but they actually had little briefings in the regional offices about my VA and what it was and told the employees what it was. Now, some people, I mean, I feel like if you're a production employee, you only have so much free time to think about, oh, what could be fixed at this place because I need to get my work done so that I can keep my job at the end of the day. So I feel like some of the ideas, you know, if you don't have a lot of free time, you might not get a lot of ideas from that category, that type of employee, because they probably don't have a lot of extra time to go on and suggest ideas because they're worried about getting their claims done. So, you know, but it's just interesting to see ways to make things better. And some things aren't that difficult. They're just little things you don't think about every day in your job. And then these ideas are stored where people who are high up in the administration, they can fish through them if they're interested in fixing things. let me see all the ideas submitted about this topic. So, or if they're working on a project to improve something, they can,
they can go through and see what's being, that's actually a really good idea. Tell me this. I know that the benefits side, I mean, most of the time, like I think about auto claims, which is obviously super different, but the same idea. So if you have an auto claim and you're the customer on the customer side, you call your agent and they connect you with an adjuster. And so if you have questions along the way, you always go to the adjuster and the adjuster can tell you what's happening. And, you submit your, where you want to go and all that. But you don't have a whole ton of people involved in the process. But with claims, you send your claim in and it sort of disappears onto an assembly line. Is that the most efficient way to do it?
Well, I mean, I've seen it both ways. When I first started working at the VA, I had digits, and I worked on claims with everybody's social security number ending in the last, two certain digits for the whole country, or at least the East Coast piece of the country. And at that time, when I first started working at the VA, we didn't have a call center. So when veterans called in or claimants called in, we answered the phone calls at our desk.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I felt like it was a more one-on-one experience with the person that you're helping, where now we have a call center that answers the majority of the questions. We're not prohibited from calling a veteran or a claimant, but that's not something we do on a daily basis when we process claims anymore. So I've seen it change to be, I would say, a little less customer-friendly. You can still call and ask questions, but the person you're going to talk to is probably not the person that's working on your claim. Where in the past, when I first started, I would actually call the veterans whose claims I was working on. So, I mean, I kind of liked it how it used to be better personally.
Yeah, because now there's nowhere for them to call to ask. It's like right now there's one I know of that has been returned, remanded back from the Board of Appeals, and it's been sitting there for, I'm going to say we're pushing a year now. In the Oakland office, and there's nobody to call. It's like it disappears. It's on the assembly line, so you get to just wait.
Yeah, well, the good thing, if you watch that hearing from January 21st, a big topic with my VA is the appeals process and improving the appeals process.
Oh, my gosh, so, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that's, there's a lot of things that they want to do, and there's things that are on the priority list, and that is definitely one that's on the priority list. I do actually feel like from in the past couple of years, they've actually looked really hard at the agency and figured out where the most serious problems are. And they definitely have them outlined and are doing something about them. Because the appeals process definitely needs some help. I've helped some people through the appeals process, and it takes a long time.
It does take a long time. And it's confusing, because that first appeal is called a notice of disagreement. So I've asked people before, have you appealed your case? Well, yeah, I appealed. So I'm thinking it's at the Board of Appeals, but it isn't. It's really a notice of disagreement. So why don't they just call it an appeal and be done with it?
No, well, it's part of the process because you have a year to come in to file your appeal. The way you file your appeal is through that notice of disagreement. And then you go through a few steps where, the VA will send you the law based on the issue you're appealing, and then you have to make your appeal, you get this thing called the Form 9, which is what makes it a substantive appeal. So it's kind of like the beginnings of the process. But the good thing about the notice of disagreement stage, just in my opinion, from being somebody that's looked at the process both inside and outside, I feel like that's a chance for the VA internally to fix it before it goes all the way through the appeals process.
Oh, exactly.
It's part of the appeals process, but it gets reviewed. So I feel like it's, a chance where the VA can say, okay, I can see where they're coming from on this point. Let's fix it before you have to go all the way up to the board.
Sure. It's funny because that's technically an appeal. I mean, they are appealing a decision, but they don't call it that. So people get really confused about what's going on with their case just because of the lingo, isn't helpful. But once it goes to Board of Appeals, it just disappears.
There's a backlog that's been a subject of a lot of the hearings lately. And the good thing is they noticed that.
Is there any way for them to be able to see where it is in the process at all?
You know, I've never worked in appeal, so I'm not familiar with that part of the process. But
well, it would be something. It would be something you'd have to change. Yeah, it'd be something you'd have to change because currently you can't. And I mean, even if they reach out to their congressional office, if it turns out that they're at the Board of Appeals, it's kind of like, oh, has it been 2 years yet? You know, because typically it's two years.
So yeah, and I'm interested to see where what they're going to do and change with the appeals process. But they seemed actually, when I watched that hearing on the 21st, it was cool because the people on the committee were actually working together with the VA and acknowledging that this is a problem. And it was kind of cool because I felt like it was a hearing that was not contentious and it wasn't back and forth. Like, both sides were kind of working together. So in the end, you know, whether there had to be a scandal to bring out certain issues or whatever happened, like, I just hope that the VA can be somewhere that veterans are happy to go to and know when they go there that, you know, they have all the faith in the world that they're getting the best care. And so anytime I see things going the right way, it makes me happy because there's people's lives, you know, at stake here. It's not something to play around with.
Yeah, well, I'm glad, too, because a lot of the stuff is just one problem after the next, which is great, but it doesn't ever seem to move toward toward fix. It sort of sounds like this. They've at least pulled some people out of the grind and have them look at it from a, you know, from a fresh perspective, I guess. I'd still be kind of curious if you had somebody, you know, if the claim went in and someone literally followed it through to a decision, if that wouldn't be a little bit better. Because it just goes from hand to hand to hand to hand, and every single person has to kind of start over and familiarize themselves with it. I realize there's, you know, job training that would go along with all that, and you'd have to know, each person would have to know more, but, God, it would sure be nice, you know, if it didn't have to keep going into the next pile, starting over, and then going to the next pile. Just seems to make it take forever.
Yeah, and I think they're trying, like, I mean, I noticed in the last few years they've had easy forms, which those do speed up the claim from my experience of watching the process.
There's
conventional forms, and then they have the easy forms where if you fill those forms out, you normally, you know, we will send you a development letter if you apply and you don't have something that you need for your benefit to be granted, or we think there might be something you could submit that might help you get your benefit granted, we'll send you a letter, we'll tell you what we need. On the easy forms, the our duty to assist is given up front, so you can see all the, you can see what the VA is expecting from you, like what duty you have, what you need to submit versus what the VA will get for you. So if, I think they're trying to make improvements in the claims process to make things go faster, but I feel like we can't go too fast because we still have to, you know, analyze all the paperwork and make sure we're making the right decision so the veteran doesn't become a product of the appeals process.
Yeah, no kidding, because that's the last thing you need to do is load that down. Well, I guess I've got a couple other questions, but I will remember them. Beyond the break, what do you have for us, Bob? You're gonna make us laugh again.
I certainly hope so.
Need to do a little laughing. Join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Everywhere you look, you can write a book on the trouble with a woman and a man. But you cannot impose, you can't stick your nose into something that you don't understand. Still you wonder who's cheating who, and who's being true, who don't even care.
It's a Valentine's song. You're listening to We the People Radio on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Sue Blake from Powerhouse Solar. Like most people, you are probably considering how you're going to reduce your household expenses and make those dollars stretch a little further. At Powerhouse Solar, we specialize in helping people find peace in the chaos. By lowering their electric bills through solar energy, we put them back in control and help them save money. We design solar systems that lower your energy bills, give you a manageable monthly payment you can count on, and avoid the electric rate increases. If you want energy independence with a battery backup system, we do that too. Getting solar installed on your home or business is a smart way to combat rising energy bills, and choosing the superior quality of SunPower Solar is equally important. Powerhouse Solar, we're a premier dealer for SunPower. We choose to partner with SunPower because they are the strongest American solar manufacturing company with the best warranty and the most efficient solar panel in the world. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or learn more at powerhousesolar.com.
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
National News with a Local View, KCNR, 1460 AM.
This time, this is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove that I'm already strong. My power turned on. Starting right now, I'll be gone. I'll play my fight song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes. Cause I've still got a lot of fight left in me.
There you go. Oh, we had to have a comeback from the Valentine's song there. I actually don't think Bob thought that was a Valentine's Day song. I certainly hope not. I just rerouted it for you, Bob. I made it bad. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's how we roll.
Exactly. So Kristen, how long are they going to keep this project open, or is it kind of an ongoing thing?
It's an ongoing thing. I think depending on who's in the administration next and what happens, you know, because there's a whole politics side to this whole thing, if they're going to continue it and fund it and they think it's a good idea. But I will say, you know, from the inside, I haven't seen anything since I've worked there that looked promising until I saw this. And, you know, of course, there might be plans and they might not work. But it's the first thing I've seen that's going in the right direction to fixing things and very veteran-oriented. And even with, you know, I will say something positive about the Rubens and Graves case. I feel like the VA realized, you know, like those cases were based on the fact that they didn't punish everybody equally. And so the VA realized, you know, that's something we've been complaining about for a long time. Like, it's not right to do this to a, you know, rank-and-file employee, but managers, you know, they do X, Y, and Z, and they don't get in trouble, but these employees are getting in trouble. Like, I feel like these cases were an eye-opener to the whole administration to say, hey, it's not okay not to treat everybody the same. And it was, you know, a judge said that to them. You know, you have to, if somebody's equally at fault and you're not going to punish them, you can't punish these people either. So I feel like just through whether it's an MSPB case or a congressional hearing or a plan to transform the place, I feel like things are going in the right way. And I feel like I'm hoping everybody can work together and make this place great.
Well, that's kind of awesome. I'm sure, I mean, seriously, it really could use a boost because it's just been nothing but bad news. And I know the employees... you know, there are a lot of good people. I just spoke with somebody who quit working as an X-ray tech down in the Sacramento area. She only lasted like 3 months because it was screwed up management again.
and nowhere to go, no way to get it fixed. And just she looked at that and thought, this is not a good life path for me.
It's nice to hear some of the good stories, that's for sure.
I'm glad.
There are a lot of good folks working there that just want to do a good job.
Yeah, so we need to pave the way for those people. I think that's terrific.
Well, plus, I mean, you want people to aspire to come work here. You know, if somebody's a college graduate, it would be nice if they said, oh, I hope I can get a job at the VA, not, oh, I'll go there, you know. Because a government job has a lot of great benefits.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, and it's a great place for our veterans to work, but only if it actually works well. Well, hey.
And plus, I mean, you go to work every day and you help somebody. So for me, it's rewarding in many aspects.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Gee, well, we got a whole bunch of free information today. Thanks a million.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Kristen.
We love catching up with you.
Me.
Say hi to the good folks in Philadelphia.
For sure.
We'll chat with you next time. Have a lovely Valentine's Day. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Join us next week. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
To come up at last night's Republican presidential debate in South Carolina was the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia.
The candidates were asked whether President Obama should use his constitutional authority to nominate someone to replace the late justice in the final year of his presidency. As expected, the Republican candidates did not think so. Donald Trump said he fully expected the president to nominate someone, adding if he were president, he certainly would. But he added that the Senate should stop President Obama by blocking a nomination. Governor John Kasich said the president should not nominate someone unless it's a widespread consensus candidate. And Senator Marco Rubio said no, the president should not appoint a nominee, adding the Supreme Court vacancy shows just how important